This is VOA News, via remote. I'm Melissa Melton. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has authorized the emergency use of a COVID-19 antibody therapy that U.S. President Donald Trump said helped cure him of the disease caused by the coronavirus. On the same day, the Johns Hopkins Coronavirus Resource Center has reported that the U.S. has passed 12 million COVID-19 cases. Dr. Deborah Birx, the White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator, said this week that this is, quote, really a moment that we want to call on every American to increase their vigilance, end quote. The Regeneron Pharmaceuticals Incorporated therapy approved by the FDA is made up of two antibodies that are to be administered together to treat mild to moderate COVID-19 in adults. The eligible group includes those 65 and older with some chronic medical conditions and some children who are at high risk of a severe case. The company expects to have enough of the treatment ready for about 200,000 patients by the first week of January. Saudi Arabia's King Salman opened the Group of 20 summit on Saturday with the coronavirus pandemic overshadowing this year's gathering of heads of state, transforming it from an in-person two-day meeting of the world's most powerful leaders to a virtual gathering of speeches and declarations. King Salman urged G20 leaders to provide support to developing countries in a coordinated manner. The Saudi monarch touted G20 efforts to inject more than $11 trillion U.S. dollars into the global economy this year as stimuli to support businesses and the most vulnerable. He also commended the group for extending protections to those most impacted by the global economic recession. From Washington, you're listening to VOA News. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo left Qatar on Saturday after meeting with the Taliban and Afghan government negotiating teams on the sidelines of continuing peace talks in Doha. Violence in Afghanistan has spiked in recent months with increasingly horrific attacks, often claimed by the Islamic State group affiliate. The Taliban have also continued near-daily assaults on beleaguered Afghan government forces. There have been increasing calls for a ceasefire if peace talks are to continue. Earlier this week, the Pentagon said it would soon pull some 2,000 troops out of Afghanistan, speeding up the timeline established in a February agreement between Washington and the Taliban that envisions a full U.S. withdrawal in mid-2021. The Islamic State's affiliate in Afghanistan is being blamed for a deadly morning mortar and rocket attack that killed at least 8 people and left dozens more injured. The attack came 2 days before a major donors conference for Afghanistan in Geneva. Spokesman Tariq Aryan said terrorists mounted 14 rockets in a small truck and set them off. He added that an investigation was ongoing to find out how the vehicle got them inside the city. One of the rockets landed close to the Iranian embassy, but it later said in a statement that there were no casualties among its staff. Afghanistan's Ministry of Interior said, along with the dead, dozens more have been injured in the blasts. Many have required hospital treatment. Hundreds of protesters have broken into Guatemala's Congress and burned part of the building amid growing demonstrations against the president and the legislature for approving a budget that cut educational and health spending. Saturday's protest came as about 7,000 people were demonstrating against the budget in front of the National Palace in Guatemala City. Protesters say the budget was negotiated and passed by legislators in secret while the country was distracted by back-to-back hurricanes and the coronavirus pandemic. A U.S. federal judge has turned down efforts by President Trump's campaign to stop the governor of Pennsylvania from certifying President-elect Joe Biden's win in the battleground state. Mr. Trump's campaign had sought an injunction to prevent the certification because they argued Pennsylvania had violated the Constitution when counties took different approaches to notifying voters about problems with their mail-in ballots. U.S. District Judge Matthew Brand turned down the request because he said its legal arguments were without merit and unsupported by evidence. In his ruling, Brand said what he called speculative accusations could not justify disenfranchising the entire state. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. From Washington, this is VOA News.